Are you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Okay, the time has arrived. I want to welcome y'all back to the broadcast, Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. We're going to crank up the marathon tonight with Pastor Joseph Cohen, and we got a real special guest tonight. Brother Joseph, welcome back, and would you like to introduce your guest?
Yes, I will, Brother Shannon, but before I do, would you like to open up in prayer, please?
Absolutely, let's do it. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that Brother Joseph Cohen is back with us this evening with a good report. We plead the blood of Jesus over him, our guest, Brother Eric, myself, our families, over everyone tuning in tonight. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would surround us today, this evening, wherever people are tuning in tonight, with your warrior angels. We thank you for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bind the strong man and every wicked spirit that is opposing us, working against this program to stop it. We bind those devils in the mighty name of Jesus and place every wicked spirit tuning in worldwide in the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father God. We rebuke every spirit of deaf, dumb, and mute. And in Jesus' name, we bind up every antichrist spirit, every spirit of confusion. We rebuke those spirits and command them to loose and go right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, Father God. We invite the Holy Spirit to come. Bless our speakers tonight and those that are tuning in. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, there is a lot of teachers in the body of Christ. During Paul's time, he told about... I'm going to be teaching you the same thing over and over and over again, because when I leave, there's going to be wolves coming in that are going to be teaching you things that are contrary to my word. And there's nothing new under the sun. So, you know, thousands of years later, we still have bad teachers pulling scriptures out of context. And preaching things that give, because those believers want to have itching ears to hear the itching stuff. And a lot of stuff that you hear from the pulpits, unless you look at the word and go over it, you just believe. They just believe what the person in the pulpit says. But Eric Ross is an excellent teacher, and we go to church together. And so I've asked Eric to share what the Lord has put on his heart for tonight. So, Brother Eric, just share what God's given you for the body of Christ worldwide.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe, and really appreciate the opportunity and appreciate your friendship. And good to hear your voice this evening. And Shannon, thank you also. And looking forward to this hour that we have together. And I'm sitting here this evening with my wife, Noemi, close by, and we are in the Bronx, New York, and as Brother Joseph said, we go together to the Master's Hand Christian Fellowship in New Rochelle, New York, and been a Christian for a long time, and as I was reading and preparing, you know, Joe told me just to share whatever on my heart, and as God often does with me, a phrase grabbed me as I was reading recently, and it's stuck with me for a period of time now. And that phrase is, "You almost persuade me." And so that's really the title of what I have to share with you this evening. And You know, many people have heard the gospel, but not everybody receives it. And so really the focus this evening is on that moment of decision. And we as Christians have a part to play in sharing this gospel and going forward with it. Now, the main text that I'm going to use tonight is the place where this phrase is from, is Acts chapter 26 and verses 23 through 30. And I'm not going to read all of that right now. I'm just going to pick a few little bits of it. But Paul has had an opportunity, as we read in Acts 26, 23 through 30, to preach the gospel to the Jewish king Agrippa and Festus, who is the Roman governor, and a crowd of other folks. Now, Paul, in this section, gives his personal testimony of his conversion and talks about his life in the ministry, and then finishes with a message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the place we want to begin tonight is Acts 26, verse 28. And King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, Paul didn't leave it there. Paul responded to him, and Paul said, "I wish that you and everyone here would be a Christian." But there are many people in the world who have heard something about God, who know something about Jesus Christ, but when they come to that place where the gospel is preached to them, they have to process it. They have to think about it. They have to give themselves to it. And that moment of decision is critical. Now, Paul's reply was ignored, because from that moment on, the conversation changes in Acts 26, verse 30. When he had thus spoken, the king Agrippa rose up, and the governor Festus and Bernice, who was Agrippa's sister, and they that sat with them, and they went aside, and they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doesn't do anything worthy of death or bonds." You know, once the moment has passed, once people have crossed over that line, once they have made their decision, the subject changes, and you can't go back to it. Now, I'm going to take a little aside here and give you a personal story. When my daughter was about 4 years old, I came home from work one day, and I sat down in my easy chair, and it had been one of those all-in days. I'm sure you've had those days before. I was exhausted. I'm sitting in my easy chair staring at the wall. She jumped up in my lap, and she grabbed my chin, and she said, "Daddy, pay attention to me." Well, you know, she had my attention, and as long as she wanted it. But she wouldn't have had it if she hadn't grabbed it. Now, I share that to make this point. There are moments in time when people are open to hearing, and they're actually listening. And it's just after this moment that they will make a decision to believe or reject the gospel. So as Christians, we need to recognize and take advantage of that moment. Now, we sometimes think that these things just happen. And as a Holy Spirit-filled kind of Pentecostal background Christian, we sometimes think that every moment just kind of happens and God is kind of shoving us around from second to second. But that really isn't what happened here. Now, I want to go back and look at this message that Paul gave. This opportunity to share the gospel didn't just happen. Paul's time before these leaders began long before this, when he set himself to go to Jerusalem. Now, you know, Paul has a long ministry, and if we read through the books of the New Testament, we'll see his missionary journeys and his influence on many different people. But when we set ourselves on a path, even though it takes some time to be fulfilled, we need to recognize that it's bringing us to a moment in time, and we need to recognize that moment when it comes. Now, I'm going to go back here in time to Acts chapter 20. And in Acts 20, Paul is returning from his missionary journeys, and he gathers the church leaders together at Ephesus. Now, this is in Acts chapter 20 and verses 17 through 24. I'm not going to read all of this, but let me just point at the beginning. Paul called the people together in the church, and he had a message to give them. And when he called them together, again, this is Acts chapter 20 and 17 through 24 here. He recounted to them the work and the ministry that he had done, and also the threats that had come to him from the Jews. Now, as he gets to the end of this message that he's giving to them, in verse 23, he says, "The Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Now, Paul had threats on his life before. He had had people who had stoned him, who had thrown him out, who had rejected him. So this wasn't an odd kind of situation. But you know, we often think that when we're in the middle of God's will, that means that everything's going to be nice, that everything is going to be good. And that really isn't the truth. But when we're in the middle of God's will, sometimes we have some hardship to get through. Now, at any point, Paul could have chosen another path. He could have gone a different direction, but he knew where the Lord was directing him. And as we finish reading from Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, I'm going to just kind of paraphrase here a little bit. Paul says, "None of these things move me." He says, "that I might finish the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, if there's an example, a better example of being single-minded, I don't know where it is. You know, Paul understood what his mission was, and he understood what he was about. And clearly, his mission was to go to the Gentiles. So the question here is, why did he go back to Jerusalem? Now, I'm going to back up again another little step here and go back to Acts chapter 18 to understand what brought Paul to this point in Ephesus. When we go back to Acts chapter 18, the first couple of verses, it says Claudius Caesar had exiled all of the Jews from Rome. Acts 18:1 says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them." Now, I'm going to take a minute here, because we see the head of Rome taking a whole group of people and throwing them out. Now, one of the biggest challenges that we have today is this challenge of immigration. And I'm not looking to compare Claudius, Rome's head, with our President Donald Trump, but I want to make the point here that immigration has been an issue for leaders to deal with for a long time. And commentators say that this decree, which was made, was not made by the Senate, but by the emperor himself. And that meant that it would only continue in force during his life. Well, you know, if we look today, the president has executive orders that he can write and he can enforce while he's in office. And sometimes that's something that a leader needs to do. Now, there often are good reasons for this kind of action, and Barnes and other commentators say that he expelled the Jews from Rome because they were making continual insurrections under a leader, Crestus. Now, I don't know exactly what the climate was there, but you know, we don't have to look very far here today to understand the trouble of terrorism and people coming from another land to bring turmoil and well, the word used here in the King James Bible, insurrection. To cause trouble. But clearly, the Roman leader had wanted to stop this from happening. Now, Paul had nothing to do with any of this kind of movement, and but it, you understand the political climate that existed here. And Paul was affected by his relationship with Aquila and Priscilla. And if we read a little bit ahead now, in Acts chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Paul was there with them for some months, and the word of God was growing. And even though it isn't directly stated here, I believe Paul had also been affected by this news from Rome, because as we read on in Acts 19, verse 21, he says, "After these things were ended, Paul purposed in spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome." This is the place where Paul sets it in his mind that he's got to finish a circuit, and then when he finishes that circuit, he's got to go back to Jerusalem, and then he needs to go on to Rome. We see Paul continuing his missionary journey, preaching the gospel, seeing great results, but there's a tug in him from this point forward to go to Jerusalem and then to go on to Rome. It's later, as he heads to Jerusalem, that he's warned of the trouble that we read about earlier in Acts chapter 20. Now, let me come back to our main point here. We're talking about events, the decisions, the leadings that brought Paul to a place where he could present the gospel to the heads of state for Israel and then later into Rome. First of all, Paul was obediently following his commission. He's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And he continued to do that even though he had this tug in him to go to Jerusalem and to Rome. Paul was listening to and learning about the political climate, certainly from Aquila, as we read in Acts chapter 18. He wasn't ignorant of the things that were going on in the world around him, but he actually understood them. And finally, Paul was seeking God's direction and had purposed in spirit to go to Jerusalem and then to Rome, as we read in Acts 19. It's only as he acts on this direction that the Holy Spirit confirms the leading and prepares him for the trouble that's ahead, as we read in Acts chapter 22 and 23. Now, all of this is what brought Paul to Jerusalem. And we're skipping a lot of details here, but when Paul got back to Jerusalem, this is where accusations were made. This is where his life was threatened. This is where he was taken into protective custody. For more than 2 years, he's held in chains by the Roman governor before Paul has his opportunity to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, here's our challenge as Christians. God puts things in our heart to do, and we don't know exactly how they'll be accomplished. I have to ask here, if you were put in jail, would you have the will and the trust in God that this was to get you before people that might not be reached any other way? You know, how far are you willing to go to create an opportunity to share the gospel? Now, my point here was that this time that Paul had didn't just happen. It came to pass because of decisions that Paul made and because Paul was willing to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost as he went. Now, I'm going to go on here to a second point. We sometimes think that everything depends on the moment that we have with somebody. But the Bible also says the invisible things of God are clearly seen. Now, God has been showing himself to the world, and we need to recognize when somebody has an experience with God, that when somebody has a moment of revelation of who God is, then we need to take advantage of that moment. When a person is making a decision for or against God, we need to take advantage of that. Now, Paul's gospel message was being delivered to King Agrippa and the Roman governor Festus on that one day in front of the whole court. But this wasn't the first time they'd heard about Jesus Christ. Well, at least certainly for Agrippa. Note, if you go back to our main text, Paul says to Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 26, the king knows of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you believe. You know, Paul knew enough about him. He knew that he had lived through this time. This is not the same Agrippa that we read about earlier in Acts. This is his son. But he also had a knowledge of the things that happened with Christ, what had happened with his disciples, what had happened with the early church. So we're talking about a man here who in addition to the personal knowledge that he had living through this same time period, you know, he had some good background. But now I'm going to switch here to Romans 1:19 through 22. And this also is Paul's writing. But what Paul says here is, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, people often say they don't know about God, but this isn't the case. God can be seen in creation. And once the wonder and beauty of creation is seen, we choose whether we'll acknowledge that there is a God or not. This choice doesn't require any instruction or a preacher to explain. Every person will make their own choice here. Now, I'm going to give you another little personal experience. When I was a young man, I had the pleasure of going to a summer camp in the Colorado Rocky Mountains. I was about 13 years old at the time. And that summer, we hiked and climbed Long's Peak. Now, many of your listeners may not understand where that is or what that is, but it's one of the highest peaks on the Front Range of the Colorado Rockies. And from that place, when you stand on the top there, it's such an awesome view in every direction. You have the plains to the east, more mountains to the north, the south and the west. There were snow-covered peaks, pine trees below because the peak is above the tree line, and so it's just a rocky, bare kind of expanse. The valleys with streams running to lakes that you can see down below. The Great Plains stretching out as far as you can see. And the beautiful Colorado blue sky. You know, that was a day that changed me forever. I was taken in by the greatness of God and his creation. And that's a moment that I never forget. Now, once people have known God through his creation and rejected him, they have a predisposition against the knowledge of God that isn't easily broken. As it says, foolish heart was darkened. Now, I want to go back to our main text here for a minute and look at the way Festus responded to Paul. In Acts 26, verse 24, he says to Paul, and as he, Paul, spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning makes you mad. Paul said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now, Festus wasn't in a place to receive anything that Paul had to say. And there are those that will deny the truth that is clearly seen right in front of them. You know, this creation that God has given us, it's a beautiful world that we live in. And whether your experience happens because you're in the mountains or because you're on a sandy beach looking at the ocean, there's a place for us to recognize and to see the things that God has made. And they're clear for us to see right in front of us. I'm going to go ahead to another point here. People come to God when he draws them. You know, when you find yourself in a conversation about God, whether it's with one person or a large group, we need to recognize and take advantage of that moment, because God has prepared you and prepared them for that moment. Now, Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me to draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me." You know, when Jesus draws them, he will send someone to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. And they'll be taught about the sacrificial blood of Christ through his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection and his now position in heaven with the Father. You know, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though they didn't know it, God was drawing Festus and Agrippa together for this moment. And Agrippa asked for it. Now, actually, if you read further, Festus was also asking Agrippa what to do about this thing. God was working between them. But in Acts 25:22, then Agrippa said to Festus, "I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow," said he, "you shall hear him." And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at Festus's commandment, Paul was brought forth. Now, God prepared this time. Yes, there was a work that had to be done in Paul's life to get him there. But there also had to be a work done in the life of each of these other people who were to hear the message. The best illustration I can think of here is also found in Acts. It's a little bit earlier. It's the story of Peter and Cornelius. Now, Peter was a Christian, a disciple, a Jew. Even though Jesus had told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel in Mark 16, they were still in many ways living under the law. And God had to do a work in Peter to prepare him to go to this the household of this Roman Cornelius who was seeking God. As Cornelius was seeking God, God reached out to Cornelius, and in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, it talks about him. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, you wouldn't think of a centurion as a devout man who feared God. You know, you would think of a centurion as being a warrior, as being one who lived by the sword and was ready to die by it. But there was something that had happened with this man that he had a heart for people. And in Acts 10:3, he saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, saying to him, "Cornelius." When he looked, he was afraid. He said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel said to him, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose name is Peter." And so God was preparing Cornelius to receive this message of the gospel. And Cornelius responded. He reached out. He sent those from his house to Joppa, which is, you know, a day's journey, and at the same time, or nearly, the angel had told Cornelius that Peter would tell him what to do. Let me back up one second here. We might think that the angel could just tell Cornelius what to do. But this isn't their job. You know, God is, there's no confusion with God. The angels have their part to play, and we have our part to play. And it's our job to preach the gospel. So the angel said, call Peter. He was a messenger. He was sending a message to Cornelius, call for Peter. Now, God has to deal with Peter to prepare him to go. In Acts 10:9, the men went on their journey to go and find Peter, and Peter went up on the housetop to pray, and he became hungry, and he saw a vision. Now, I'm not going to go through all of the vision, but there's a message that Peter came away with. And I'm always amazed when I read this in verse 15. It says, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Now, Peter was a strong leader in the church, and even so, he needed an adjustment. You know, there isn't one of us that have it all together, but God is teaching us. Now, the other thing about this is God says he's cleansed them before Peter even gets there. You know, God declares things, and then they come to pass. Now, Peter arrives in Caesarea at Cornelius's house, and he finds a crowd of people there. Acts 10:27, it says, as he, Peter, walked with him, Cornelius, he went in and found many that were come together. Then in Acts 10:28, he said to them, you know that it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come in to one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter has to get over the boundaries of his religion and his religious thinking to bring the gospel to them. Now, the point here that I'm making is that God draws people. And I'm going to add here my wife's experience. And when she gives her personal testimony, she always says, when God called me, I came. Now, before we met, I won't go into the details here, but she was going through a really difficult time. And one Saturday morning, she thought she needed to go, the way she says it, to that church with the white cross. Now, there was a church that she had driven by many times that was right off the expressway that had a white cross on the side of the building. And so she had this impression, and she picked up the phone, and she called her sister, and she said, I think I need to go to that church with the white cross. Now, her sister's response was, you know, your niece and I just went to that church last Sunday. And today, this Saturday, is Women's Ministry Day. So they jumped in the car, and they went to the church with the white cross, and God met her there. And so now she says, God called, and I answered. Now, you know, when God presents a time, when he presents this gospel message, we have a choice to make about whether we'll receive it or not. You know, people can get this gospel message by reading God's word in the Bible. And I know people who have come to a saving knowledge of Christ because they picked up the Bible and they read it and God did a work in their life. They can get it by hearing a media message like this message we have right now. And they can get it by the words of someone's mouth. But God is drawing people, and they will have questions. And it's up to us to share the message of Christ and to help them come to this place where they can receive. Now, I have one final point and then a little wrap-up. And the final point here is to let the Holy Spirit fall. Now, I told you earlier that I'm a little Pentecostal Holy Ghost kind of background in my doctrine. And maybe some of the people listening here, that kind of language, you know, doesn't fit what you understand. But I'm going to ask you to try to catch what I'm saying to you here. Once you begin preaching the gospel, we need to recognize that God is going to do a work, and there's a moment of time for him to do it. Because the Holy Spirit is just waiting for that moment when a person will agree and accept Jesus Christ. Now, whether you call that the Holy Spirit falling or you call it something else, that's fine with me. Understand the point here, though, that that moment is a precious moment, and it's a time that we need to guard very carefully. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of different verses here, and just so you understand the context of this moment, and you may have a dozen other scriptures that you could quote back at me that that make this point just as well. But there is a work of redemption that occurs when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so the first place I'm going to go here is, as it says in Ephesians 1 and verses 12, 13, and 14, it says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, there's a work that God does in us when this is the place that is for people. We Christians, I also am an old Rhema Bible graduate, and so the message of faith is an important message in my life, and we talk about faith, we talk about believing God and trusting God. You know, there's a natural side and a spiritual side that come together, and it begins with, you know, the Bible also says that the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit, but this moment here that we're talking about, this being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, happens when our mind is engaged with the words of the gospel, and the Spirit of God begins then to make a spiritual connection with us, and we can't make that spiritual connection on our own. We've been cut off from God, separated from God, because of sin. But when we recognize the salvation, the payment of the blood of Christ, that we can be forgiven, as our mind begins to process those words, there's a spiritual work that kicks in. And the Bible calls it being born again. You know, that moment takes us from just a carnal, natural mind where we've heard the name of Jesus, but we don't know anything about it, to a spiritual connection where we're now born the sons and daughters of God. Now, I'm going to go in exactly the opposite direction here for a minute, because there are times when people turn away. If there's a rejection of Jesus Christ or a turning away, I'm going to go back to an Old Testament verse. It's Isaiah 63. Verse 10, and you can go back and read the context here, but it says, but they rebelled, and they vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. You know, God wants us to be his sons and daughters. He wants everyone to be saved. But if we reject him, what can he do? We have a choice to make, and it's to accept or to reject. Now, this point is to let the Holy Spirit fall, to give time for the Spirit of God to work. And, you know, we all have schedules, and we plan our time, and we want to get things done, and we want to move on to the next thing. And, But when we come into these times of sharing the gospel, where real ministry is taking place, we need to preserve the moment and stay with it until the Holy Spirit has finished his work. Now, that sometimes means bringing our flesh under. You know, we might be hungry or thirsty or, well, you know, we have other physical needs, Maybe we know somebody's waiting for us, or but there's a time when we come into this place where the Spirit of God is moving in somebody's life, and that's a precious moment, and we need to stay with it. Now, in our church, and I know many churches have similar kinds of things. We always have coffee and fellowship after our Sunday morning service. And this means that somebody needs to clean up after everybody's done. Well, you know, we schedule a service 10:30 Sunday morning at the Master's Hand in New Rochelle, New York. You're welcome, 70 Church Street. You're welcome to join us. And we schedule a service 10:30 to 12:30, and then, but sometimes the Lord is doing a work in somebody's life. And when that happens, we need to preserve that moment. But you understand that disrupts the schedule for those who need to do the cleanup work an hour later. But here's the thing. We're all in this work of the ministry together. And whether we're, you know, standing on the platform delivering the message, whether we're praying for people, or whether we're there to clean up the mess that all the people left after things are over, we're all in the ministry together. And it's for one reason, for us to create a moment in time when the Spirit of God can move. Now, I think time-wise we're doing pretty good here. I have covered really the key points that I wanted to cover. Let me just try to sum up here a little bit. Now, our main text begins with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's Acts 26:23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and he should show light to the people and to the Gentiles. Now, this is why Paul was there. This is why Paul had subjected himself to chains for those 2 years. Paul was doing all he could to bring them to a place of accepting Christ. Now, sadly, Festus reacted, as we read in Acts 26, 24, and 25. Paul spoke to him, and Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad." He really just didn't get it. He completely rejected the message that Paul was giving him. Then Paul reached out to Agrippa, saying, and in Acts 26 and 27, "For King, you know of these things, before whom I speak freely. I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you believe." Now, Paul brought him to a place where it would have been really easy for him to say, "Yes, I believe the prophets," and then take the next step, "Yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord." But again, sadly, Agrippa responded with the title of our message here. In Acts 26:28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." You know, how many people are there who have come to that point and not making the choice? Paul makes one final plea with them in Acts 26:29. He said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And then the moment was gone. You know, Acts 26:30, when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. Now, the main points here, I just want to rehearse them with you. There's an opportunity to share the gospel, and it didn't just happen. There were things that had to come together. There were decisions that were made. There were intentional actions that Paul took to create that opportunity. People know about who God is. The invisible things of him are clearly seen. You know, people will have some opinion already of who God is. But we need to get past that and to the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. Now, God will draw people to himself. And There are different times in people's lives, different things that happen that bring them to a place where they can hear the message. Now, I'm gonna take another minute here and a recent experience, and you know, it's my mother-in-law recently had some problems with her knee, and she's in a rehab facility. And over the last 2 weeks, she had well, 2 weeks ago, she had a roommate, and we were able to minister to her roommate about every day as we visited my mother-in-law. And she, when she first came, she was really distressed. She had taken a bad fall. She had stitches in her face, bruises all over. Really, she was in a rough place. And over the 2 weeks, you know, her whole countenance changed. And we would come in, and she would smile, and we'd talk to her about the things of God. And you know, last week they moved her from a rehab floor to a longer term care facility because she needed a different kind of an environment. And we happened to run into her just the other day. And you know, this place that she's in, and I'm going to take liberty and mention them because they have done it's a beautiful place, and they've done a great job for my mother-in-law. It's the Hebrew Home in Bronx, New York. It's right off of the Hudson River. And but as my wife was talking to her, she didn't have anything good to say about the staff or the food or the place or her life. You know, you sometimes wonder, how is it that people can go from one day seeking God and looking for God and trying to understand who God is, and then fall into those depths of loneliness and despair. You know, the last point here is, let the Holy Spirit have His work. And this message is really to encourage you to be looking, to be planning toward, to be working toward recognizing and taking advantages of those moments when you have opportunity to minister to somebody. And when that moment comes, make the most of it. Keep their attention. Once they move, that moment is over. Now, for me, there are two more little things that I want to do before we finish tonight. And the first one is, if you've been listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, then there's only one thing for you to do, and that's to accept Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say a prayer here, and I'm going to ask you, and I can't hear you, but I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. And understand that you're accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that He gave His life to pay the price for your sin. And God raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand to be the firstborn of many. And this relationship that God wants to have with you comes when you accept the work that Jesus Christ did. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me here and just say these words after me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for my sin and that you raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord. From this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you prayed this with me, I want to seal it with a short prayer for you. Father, I thank you for these who have accepted Christ today. Lord, I ask you to lead them by your Holy Spirit to a local church, a place where they can learn more about you and your plan for their life, where they can find the fulfillment that you have for them through Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, There's one more thing for me that I think is important here this evening. And that is, for those of you who are Christians, you know, we all have heard before, we have the commission to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I'm asking you here to go and read Paul's message and make it your own. You know, Paul talked about his own life. He talked about the ministry and gave testimony of the things that God had done. And then he talked about Jesus Christ. And it's important to make this message your own. You know, there are a lot of people out there, and maybe if we have a few minutes at the end, you know, there are some great resources available about the salvation message and how to reach out to people. But for us as Christians, I'd like to pray for us. And Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I know it's your desire that all would be saved and come to know the truth. Lord, I commit myself to this work of ministry, and I ask you to order my steps and to prepare people by drawing them in. Lord, prepare moments when I can share the work and the love of Jesus Christ with others. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, for those of you that prayed with me, whether it's to accept Christ or just as a Christian, I'd really like to get some feedback. And so I'd like for you, if you would, to go to a website, prayny.org, and add a prayer request. And if you'll do that, you know, it'll ask you for a phone number and an email. And, you know, you don't have to give a lot of information there. But if you'll do that and add a prayer request there, it will let us connect with you and to continue to pray for you for the fulfillment of God's plan in your life. Now, Shannon and I have a few other kind of reference websites, and maybe I should give Joe or you a few minutes to kind of close things out here.
If you're just tuning in tonight, we're live with Pastor Joseph Cohen and Minister Eric Ross, and this is a Right Now Word tonight. I really enjoyed this message. We're going to take communion here in a few minutes. Brother Joseph, we'll go up to 8:15. Is that okay? We're going to extend another 15 minutes. And
that'll be fine, Brother Shannon. Yeah.
Brother Eric, that website you just gave out, is that called prayny.org?
Yes, it is. Right.
Okay. NY is in New York?
It's Pray New York, right. Prayny.org, yeah.
Give out those other resources that you have as well.
Sure. Okay. I'll give you a little bit more about my wife and I. Of course, my name's Eric, and my wife is Noemi Ross. And we also have a prayer line that we have operated with our church for a number of years now. And that actually started in 2010. We came across a book, Praying Through Acts, by Turkle. And it was 40 days, I think, praying through Acts. And we realized we couldn't all get together at the church, so we grabbed a phone line and a conference line, and we started praying through that book. We got to the end of it, and my wife and I looked at each other, and we said, you know, this is a way of life. We need to be doing this every day. And so every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern time, we dial into the prayer line, and we read maybe a chapter, as usually a few verses at a time, and we look at them to understand the historical context, but we also look at them for, you know, what is the lesson that God has for us, and how do we apply that to our life today? And then we try to pray according to the word that's in front of us that day. And I'd like to invite your audience to join us if they're welcome to. I'll give you the phone number here. It's 712-432-6100. And there's a passcode, 3505-1381. And when you come on, you know, it's great to just announce yourself and say hello and, you know, join in as best you can. If we're in the middle of something, then give it a second till we take a breath and then chime in. But that's 6 to 7 Eastern Time, Mondays through Friday. The website I gave you again was prayny.org. Also, my wife and I do some marriage counseling, so we have a website, mymarriagementors.org, and that's material through Prepare Enrich. They have a great kind of survey that husband and wife or prospective couple take together, and it really works on the power of agreement, and it shows you places where you're agreeing together and places also where you're thinking differently. So it's a great tool to help couples through the 10 key areas, you know, finances and solving problems and family and, you know, 10 key areas of marriage that are really important. Now, I also want to mention the National Day of Prayer Task Force, who is a great group, nationaldayofprayer.org, and encourage people to join in on our National Day of Prayer, because it's a time when we can engage our elected officials to be praying with us. And it's important that that power of agreement is really important with God. Now, I'm going to mention two other ministries here. One of them has some great soul-winning tools, and it's Rodney Howard Brown. It's revival.com, so it's easy to remember. And just look for their soul-winning tools, and have some great downloads, a little script. And so, you know, if you're looking for a way to kind of jumpstart things, and maybe you're a little bit timid about talking to people out in the world, you know, this is a great place for you to go. And I have another ministry that I personally love, and it's Morris Cirillo, mcwe.com. And, you know, they're located in San Diego. We actually have a couple of sons who live in San Diego, so, you know, we've got a little heart connection there as well. But last one for me to mention here, and that's Rick Renner. And if you said the salvation prayer tonight, and you know, you want a place like right now to get some information, at Renner.org, there's a salvation prayer that's a little longer than the prayer that I prayed with you, and there's a good little page there to give you a little jump start. And so I encourage you to, for those of you who maybe just said this prayer with me to accept Christ, Renner.org, and look for the salvation prayer. And for those of you who are Christians and you're maybe a little bit timid about where do we go from here, what's the next step, revival.com and the soul-winning tools. Now, you know, you got me going here now, Shannon. And you know, there is another place that I came across a while ago that I really like, and I think you know, the question is how should we pray? And certainly we have the issues in our own life that we need to pray about. And if you connect with the National Day of Prayer Task Force, they'll talk about the seven centers of power, which I think originally was established by Bill Bright through Campus Crusade. But the seven centers of power, you know, government, media, business, church, family, education, I don't know that I've got all of them there, but, you know, we need to be praying for those things. Certainly, we understand after this election how critical it is for us to pray for our government. You know, there are so many places and ways that we can pray, but this next website, Pray for Every Home, and it's a P-R-A-Y, the number 4, and the word everyhome.com. And they have done a really nice job of putting together public information. And so if you sign up and give them your street address, they'll pull a list of 20 people who live in your neighborhood, so you can pray for those people directly. Now, I don't think there's any expectation that you go knock on their door and you know, it's, but it's a great way. They'll send you a little email with five people to pray for each day. It's a great way to reach out to your community, and it's organized for you. And if you pray for those people, then you know, you just click on them, and it shows that you prayed for them, and it shifts them off your list and gives you a new list. And so pray for every home, and it's a great place to be praying for people. Now, Joe, I'm looking at the clock here a little bit, and
we're going to have to stop, Brother Eric. We have to take communion. But it was a powerful salvation teaching, that's what God has us here on earth for. He has us, not after we came to Christ, not to take us home, but to allow the Holy Spirit to change our lives and to be a witness for Christ, and then go out into all the world and preach the gospel and tell them about the love of God. And so it was very powerful. And as the Apostle Paul said, when he left the Jewish people because they rejected the gospel, he says, you know, the blood's no longer on my hands because I gave them what God wanted me to give. So take advantage of all these resources, brothers and sisters, and those who are new in Christ, also those resources there. And you got a powerful explanation of the gospel from A to Z. So we thank you, Brother Eric, for that great teaching. And so, Brother Shannon, could you please let the audience know about communion, who could take it, and what it's all about, please?
Praise God. And Brother Eric, I also enjoyed that message. Fantastic message. If you're coming in late, tonight was in called, you almost persuade me. And we're going to put that information on the prayer line and the websites and the show notes. And Brother Eric, we look forward to having you back on. That was a right now word. Well, before we continue in tonight's marathon, we're going to give you an opportunity tonight to join us in communion. It is open for every believer in Jesus Christ. When we take communion, what we're doing, the word says, is we're showing the Lord's death till he comes. We're remembering the sacrifice and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he shed the blood for the remission of many sins, for your sins out there tonight. And if you call on him as Lord and Savior, believe in your heart that he has died and God rose him from the dead, invite him in, repent of your sins, he will forgive you. He'll be your Lord and Savior, and you can take communion. You can take it anytime you like, and when you take communion, there's a blessing that comes from it. All you need really is a little bit of bread or cracker or matzah, some grape juice or wine, and you can join us here on these programs Tuesday and Wednesday night, where we'll take communion, and we invite you to join us if you like to. As you're taking communion, you want to prepare your heart. If there's any sin that you're involved in right now, you need to repent before you take communion. If there's anybody you need to forgive so that we can be forgiven, you need to forgive them. And do this before you take communion. That way you can receive the blessing that comes from it. If you want to meet those conditions, then take communion. And we're going to read from a text tonight, Matthew 26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" That was Matthew 26:26-29. Brother Joseph, back to you.
Well, before we do communion, I just want to say, those of you who are new to the show and you're partaking of communion with us, when we drink the blood of Christ, we lift our cup up to the Lord and we say three times, "Hail to my King Jesus," which is personal in giving reverence to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we say once, "Hail to my King Jesus," which is worldwide believers joining in one. And because when a dignitary is honored, they have their guests lift up the glass and toast the dignitary. So that's what we do here. And as you're taking communion, believe God for miracles. Believe God for great and mighty things. I had from last show, Brother Shannon, a brother that wanted the two newsletters that I wrote about communion and about all the miracles that people have had, more than financial miracles, more than healing miracles. And so we sent them those two newsletters that I wrote. And if you want that, you could email me. We'll give you the address right after communion, and we'll send it out to you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to eat bread from the earth. Thank you, Father, for your broken body that was shed for us, Lord, 2,000 years ago on the cross. Thank you, Father, because of that, Lord, we're entitled to your will, Father, and your will tells us, Father, that healing is the children's bread, and by your stripes we are healed. So I command every sickness, every disease in those bodies of the believers listening worldwide, I speak forth healing unto your body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's partake with the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam borei pri hagafen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to drink the fruit of the vine. Hail to my King Jesus.
Hail to my King Jesus.
Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to our King Jesus. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you for your blood. There's power in your blood, healing in your blood, deliverance in your blood, faith in your blood, hope in your blood, peace in your blood, joy in your blood, mercy in your blood, great grace in your blood, Lord. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. So we thank you, Father, for your blood. We thank you, Father God, as we partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we can claim our families for Christ. For your word says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved. So as Brother Eric said, the Holy Spirit is the one that saves. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that our families by faith are saved. And, Father God, at your perfect timing, with your perfect way, Father, that you are, Father, bringing, Lord God, our unsaved family members to the cross. And we thank you for that, Father. And, Lord God, as we partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father, that every muscle, every nerve, every cell, every organ has to line up with the word of God and be healed in the name of Jesus. Let us partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Amen and amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
It's been a real honor to have our special guest on tonight, Minister Eric Ross. Brother Eric, right now word. Brother Joseph, it's a real honor to work with you, my brother. You've introduced us to so many great men and women of God, and we're looking forward to many more shows together before the Lord returns. Brother Joseph, before we continue on the marathon, would you give out your contact information, website as well, please?
Sure. Well, if you want to get the two newsletters that we have, on communion, email me, Brother Joe, at newhopeinthelord.com, newhopeinthelord.com. You want to look at our website. We have a lot of great things on there. It's New Hope in the Lord.com. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to want to support our ministry, you have a PayPal account. You could just send your donation to Brother Joe at newhopeinthelord.com. And if you want to write, to the ministry or send a check, it's New Hope, P.O. Box 418, Valhalla, V-A-L-H-A-L-L-A, New York, 10595.
Praise God. Brother Joseph, we'll be talking soon. See you next time. And Brother Eric, you're welcome on anytime, my brother.
Thank you very much.
God bless you both.
God bless you. God bless you.
And we'll, Brother Eric, excuse me one second. What is your email address? I want to send you a copy of your show as well.
Oh, thanks a lot. It's actually a very easy one. I'll give you the simple one. Eric Ross at ericross.org. E-R-I-C-R-O-S-S.
Okay. Eric Ross at ericross.org.
That'll do it.
That's easy. And Sister Ross, God bless you as well. We'll see you all next time.
Thank you.
Thanks
God
a lot.
Bless you guys.
Bye-bye.
As well.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you for having us on.
All right.
Brother Joseph, love you, my friend. We'll see you next time. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay. You too, Brother Shannon. Shalom.
Shalom. Folks, I'm blessed to have the men and women of God on, and we're going to continue tonight. Next up is my good friend, you know him, Pastor Frank Marzullo. He's standing by. And then later on, we're going to have Gene Moody. Let me save this program, and we'll be right back. I'm just going to refresh.
Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.